Speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
Several years ago, an outstanding denominational preacher wrote a little tract that had in it these words: "We take the position that a Christian's sins do not damn his soul. All the sins he may commit, from idolatry to murder, will not make his soul in any more danger." Well, friends, this statement expresses a doctrine known as eternal security, sometimes known as the impossibility of apostasy. And simply stated, the doctrine is that a Christian cannot lose his salvation. If he is once saved, he is eternally saved, regardless of the kind of life he lives after being saved. But I want to assure you that a Christian can so sin as to be eternally lost. It's not a question of what an individual Christian will do, but of what he can do. The Lord teaches that it is possible for Christians, through the exercise of his own will, to relinquish his hold upon eternal life. The Christian has eternal life now in the sense that he has Christ. The Apostle John said, "For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us." 2 John 1, verse 2. Now, in this passage, John says that Christ is eternal life. So the person who has Christ has eternal life. But the apostle made it clear that our keeping Christ is conditional. He said, "If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father." 1 John 2, verse 24. In the parables Christ taught, one was that his own servants could be lost. He said that the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Unto one of these servants he gave 5 talents. To another he gave 2 talents. And to a third servant he gave 1 talent. He gave them according to their abilities. After some time, the Lord returned from the far country and called for a reckoning with his servants. The one who had received 5 talents had used his and gained 5 more. The same was done by the man who was given 2 talents. But the servant with 1 talent buried his, refused to use it. When the Lord saw the failure of this servant, he said, Matthew 25, "Cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness." Christ said the kingdom of God is like this. He went on to say that he has gone to heaven. He's given his servants goods, and then one day he's going to return. And when he does return, he will cast his own unprofitable servant into outer darkness, where there is indeed weeping and gnashing of teeth. In this parable of the vine and the branches, Christ taught that the people may be lost. He said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." That parable found in John 15, verse 1 through verse 6. In this parable, Christ compares his disciples to branches and a vine. He says the Father will remove them if they fail to bear fruit, or if they abide not in the Son. And as men burn branches that are cut off, so the Lord will punish his people who have been taken away by the great husbandman of the vineyard. Now, we know that a Christian can sin because we've seen examples of it in the New Testament. Luke tells us that Philip went to Samaria and preached Christ unto the people. And he says, "When they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip." That's in Acts 8, verse 12 and verse 13. Well, after Simon obeyed the gospel, just like all the other people in Samaria had done, Simon sinned in trying to buy the miraculous gift of the Holy Spirit. Notice what Peter informed Simon. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Acts 8:21 and verse 22. Anyone who denies that Simon was a Christian must deny that the Samaritans were Christians, for he did precisely the same thing that they had done. They believed and they were baptized. Simon himself believed, also was baptized. Simon became a Christian, and after becoming a Christian, he sinned. The apostle instructed him to repent and pray that he might be forgiven. So the Lord clearly teaches that a Christian can sin, and that a Christian can so sin as to be lost. A passage written by the apostle John is something used as proof that a Christian cannot sin. Notice the words of John in 1 John 3, verse 9. Whosoever is born of God cannot sin, because he is born of God. Well, is John saying here that it's impossible for a child of God to sin? John said the seed prevents a Christian from sinning. Christ said the seed is the word of God in Luke 8, verse 11. And John was writing to some people in whose hearts the word of God was abiding. And he said, I have written unto you, young men, because the word of God abides in you. That's in 1 John 2:14. John said these people did not sin because the word of God filled their heart. In the Old Testament, David said, Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Psalms 119, verse 11. As long as the word of God remains in one's heart and controls one's life, they cannot sin. But that is far from saying that we can never sin, because we can drift from the knowledge of God's word. Satan can steal the word out of our hearts. We know that's possible from Luke 8:13. And those who teach that a child of God cannot be lost sometimes quote Christ's statement that's found in John 5, verse 24. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation. But Christ is speaking of those who hear him and those who continue to believe in God. In chapter 10 of John, the Lord speaks of those who continue as his disciples. And he says, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. John 10, verse 28 and 29. Note the order of the passage. Jesus said, 1, my sheep hear my voice. 2, they follow me. 3, I gave them eternal life. Now, when will he give eternal life? Christ answered that in Matthew 25, verse 46, the righteous shall go into eternal life at the judgment. So eternal life as a reward of the righteous will not be given until the end of time. Some men stress the verb used by Christ when he said the believer hath everlasting life. But they forget that the verb hath and others in the present tense are frequently used with a future significance. In a prophecy about the coming of Christ, Isaiah said in Isaiah 9:2, They shall dwell in the land of the shadow of death. Upon them hath light shined. Isaiah further said, Upon us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Now, these statements were made about Christ at least 700 years before his birth. So the Lord often speaks of what he has promised as if it were a present reality. When Jesus said the believer hath everlasting life, he was speaking in this way, that it's as if it's a present reality, but it's yet in the future. We can be sure that this is true because the Lord says Christians hope for eternal life, Titus 1, verse 2. And Paul says a man does not hope for a thing that he already has, Romans 8, verse 24 and 25. The Lord says this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. And the Christian should forever remember that the everlasting life given him is in promise and in prospect. And it's not given everlastingly. He must endure unto the end to receive it. Matthew 10, verse 22. The Apostle Peter speaks of Christians who had sinned, and he says, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning." 2 Peter 2, 20 and 21. Peter said people who had escaped the pollution of the world could be entangled again therein. They could be overcome. And the latter end would be worse than the beginning. They were lost in the beginning, but if they were saved and then went back into sin, then they were in worse condition than before they obeyed the Lord. In writing to the Christians at Galatia, the inspired apostle said, "Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. Ye are fallen from grace." Galatians 5, verse 4. We're saved by grace, but if Christians fall from that which saves, then they will be lost. So we need to understand and trust in the promises of God, obey His word to become a child of His by repenting, confessing that Jesus is Christ, being baptized into Christ, have our sins washed away, and then being faithful unto death that we might receive the crown of life.